You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We had to cut that hearing short. We were supposed to do two rounds of questions. You said you had to be somewhere, so we cut it short. Republicans were not able to ask a second round as we had been informed we would. The press reported shortly thereafter that the reason that the hearing had to be cut short is because you were flying on a Gulfstream jet for a personal vacation in the Adirondacks. Please tell me that's not accurate.
Oh, boy, you talk about a pregnant pause. That is Missouri Senator Josh Hawley questioning FBI Director Wray about why he had to cut off a special hearing he was appearing before because he had to go to a vacation when everyone was led to believe it's business. Now, what happened next, and we're going to have this a lot more in the second hour, but the FBI Director Wray falls back on that old line that I got from Obama when I interviewed Obama when he was president. And I said, you're jetting all over the world under color of state business with your family, going to all these countries while folks in the rest of the country just can't even seem to take their kids to an amusement park. They think you're out of touch. And his answer was, well, I had to fly on Air Force One. That wasn't the question. It was never the question. I let him answer it the way he wanted to. And I expect President to be on Air Force One. I expect FBI Director Wray to be on a plane that will be equipped for his communications. I don't need necessarily think that he needs a Gulfstream 500. But aside from that, the bottom line is he left that committee hearing because he was indicating he had some pressing business. And then later he's trying to explain, well, I had a meeting with Senator Grassley a following week, or maybe a month. I don't know. I don't remember now. We'll get to it later. But he was skipping out, avoiding additional questions so we could go on vacation. Wouldn't that not be great for you? Your boss wants to have a talk to you. I need to talk. This is really important what we're going to do and where we're going forward here. Can you stay an extra 15 to 20 minutes? Well, now, if you've got to catch a commercial liner and you got your tickets and you got your family and everybody going, then that's going to be, you'll probably be able to talk the boss in and say, is there any way we can do it another way? Because I'm committed to the family to do this. I always believe family first. But the FBI director at this point should be country first and answer the questions being posed by senators. He didn't. We're going to get into it in more detail, as I say, in the second hour. In the meantime, This president Biden, deciding that he is suddenly going to release and auction off, I should say, nearly 1 million acres of Alaskan coast for new oil and gas drilling the next month. They're saying it's all part of the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. You know, the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act. You know why they're doing this? Because he's inking a deal with Chevron Oil Company to allow the Chevron Oil Company to drill and bring oil in from Venezuela, paying money directly to a communist country, Maduro. And it's completely back-asswards policy. Supposedly, if we do this for Venezuela, Maduro will loosen his dictatorship in the country and help his people out. Come on! The carny at the carnival could get you to come in and see the bearded lady that has 45 tattoos and one of them looks like you. You want to spend your money on that? Because this is pretty much what's being expressed right now. This president is going to give money to the communist country with the intent that maybe they'll become, nicer to their people. And we'll get oil and gas from them while still not really drilling here. So then they said, you know what, let's go ahead and put up for nearly 1 million acres off the Alaskan coast for new and oil gas drilling. But do you know how long it takes to do that? You got to explore. You got to put the rigs in place. You got to move forward. Oh, we got a lot of that to cover. And we got a lot of more details from Ray also about how the FBI whistleblowers are saying what you've really been doing is not guarding the American people. You're attacking the American people. And then we've got a story that deals with pedophilia that is frightening. It is frightening from every possible level of society. Thousands of convicted pedophiles in California being released from prison in less than a year. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Ultimately, we normally lift sanctions in return for an action, not lifting sanctions in return for a vague promise that they might do something like a free and fair election 6 or 8 or 9 months into their exporting oil, getting the money from it that allows this dictatorship to continue to operate. But I think the more important point is, why not in the U.S., is it really that important for the president to stick to a promise of reducing our carbon production while, in fact, begging the rest of the world to increase theirs? Nothing makes less sense than that.
No, it makes no sense, and he's exactly right. The question is it really necessary, that important, for the president to stick to a schedule of promising of reducing our carbon production? In fact, while begging the rest of the world, please increase theirs. Nothing makes less sense than that. Those are the words of Congressman Daryl Issa, Republican of California. And he's absolutely right. We need oil and gas in our nation. And when Trump left office, I don't care if you didn't like him, look at just the numbers, the numbers. Where were we then? What did we have in our strategic reserve, something like 700 million gallon barrels, I should say. We're down to less than half of that possibly now and going lower. We have another stockpile of diesel fuel up in the Northeast. It's being dwindled down. We've been told you're approaching a 20-day limit again. And, of course, if you don't have more oil and gas coming in the refineries, they're not going to be able to turn out diesel fuel. And it's going to get really tough up in the North. And then if we have a rail strike on top of all of this, all the trucks that are going to be needed, which will run on diesel, will not have the fuel they need. But here is this administration. It's like a kid, and that's pretty much what we're talking about here. There are no adults in the Biden White House at this time. It's my toy. I want it. I'm going to do it my way. It's my game. Otherwise, I'll take it and I'll leave the room. Actually, I wish he would leave the room and the rest of them. But unfortunately, we are going to be stuck with him or whoever succeeds him in the next 2 years. Who knows after that if we don't get our act together. We were energy independent under Trump. Energy independent. We didn't have to bring any oil and gas in. We were doing some trading with different countries, mainly for trade relations. But we were a net exporter. We were sending more out than we were bringing in because we didn't need to. I told you, I don't know how many times, we have an estimated 300 to 500 years of oil and gas under our feet in this nation on the continental shelf. Not even off the Gulf Coast or the Alaskan coast. But this administration, worshiping at the green pie in the sky altar, going to get rid of fossil fuels and everything else that goes with it. Except they're realizing, oh, you know, we're not quite ready yet. No kidding. So what they've done now with this deal with Venezuela, which was ICE was referring to, he said, you know, we're lifting sanctions. Normally we do it in return for an action. We don't lift them with a vague promise that Maduro is going to be a nice guy. It ain't going to happen. So with that in mind, Karl Rove was also on the program. This is on a Fox Business report. Rove is, of course, a former White House chief of staff. And he said, think about what we're in the process of doing when we make this deal.
We're going to give money to a regime that's going to use it to strengthen its security services hold over the population. We're giving money to an open advocate and ally of many of our enemies around the world, and we are looking like fools on the international stage. We're not the only people looking at this, and this diminishes American credibility. If we wanted more oil and gas, we could get it in the United States if we took off some of the unnecessary regulations, sped up approvals for pipelines, made it easier for people to bring energy to our markets. And instead, what we're doing is we're saying we're gonna have one of the more corrupt regimes in the entire world, let alone the hemisphere, and reward them mightily for having thumbed their nose at the United States and the world for several years now. And for what good purpose? What have they done that justifies this? And the answer is nothing.
Nothing. And do you not imagine elsewhere in the world, they're laughing at us. They're laughing. Biden has oil and gas in his land, but he doesn't want to use it. He's willing to go buy it from somewhere else and even sell some oil and gas out of our strategic reserve to China? Oh, they'll be willing to sell it back. You know there's going to be a little vig. It's going to be a lot more expensive. Hey, if you're watching on Rumble, you'll notice that, didn't you? Saw what I did? I should have said earlier, and I forgot to say, we are live streaming on Rumble.com. You can go to Rumble.com right now, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you right to studio. You can see exactly what's happening in here. And as you've noticed, if you're already watching, I've been out of the studio a few times because I've had all kinds of things come undone today. But we are going to make this work out. Quentin's got a handle on it. I got a handle on it. And ladies and gentlemen, settle back. Do keep your seatbelts on. We might have a few bumps here and there, but we'll be fine. We might not serve drinks right away. Except to the captain. Oh, I'm sorry. We won't serve drinks to anybody. So here's Biden. He got asked a question by Peter Doocy for ABC News at a news conference about why he's doing this. He's suddenly deciding to do a deal with Venezuela while saying that he's not going to do any drilling here in the U.S. and yet at the same time turning around and auctioning nearly 1 million acres off the Alaskan coast. They're doing it just to make it look like we're doing something. But I'm telling you, you cannot turn that spigot on those wells off the shores of Alaska tomorrow, next month, maybe a year. And then they got to go out and do research, figure out where it is, how deep, and cost effectiveness. If we're going to continue spending money, we're beholden, we are fiduciaries for our board. If we're going out and blowing money and then you're going to shut us down, why would we do that? So anyway, Peter Ducey raises all of those questions in kind of a bundle to the smartest person in the room, the White House press secretary.
Why is it that President Biden would rather let U.S. companies drill for oil in Venezuela than here in the U.S.?
That's not an accurate take on the president's view.
Earlier this month, he said no more drilling. There is no more drilling.
The president has issued 9,000 permits for drilling on U.S. federal lands, Peter, 9,000 of them being unused.
There's no question at all. The president wants to have it both ways. He wants to take credit for stopping the production of oil and natural gas. And then he wants to say, but look what I've done. The fact is, Karl Rove's former boss, George W. Bush, I was with him a month ago, and he said to a veterans group, but it came off as the right thing to say, American energy is the lifeblood of the American economy.
Yeah, and I was wrong. I forgot that it was not the White House spokeswoman. That was John Kirby, who's now serving as the strategic communications leader. But he also blew the question. And then you heard Congressman Issa coming back again saying there's no doubt that this president is attacking the lifeblood of this country. And in fact, Congressman Issa added exactly how he's doing it.
American energy is the lifeblood of the American economy. And that's what this president is attacking. Our current economic woes, to a great extent, are exactly because we've raised the price of energy. If you look at the price of diesel to deliver goods and services, it's through the roof. If you look at people being told it's going to be very cold in New England and in New York this year because they either can't get or won't be able to afford home heating oil, these are things that are real, that are happening in America today, and they're happening because of a policy, and a policy that the president's made clear he's not going to change.
No, he's not going to change. He's locked into it. He's bowing down to the ultra-left. They're kind of being a little quiet as they can right now, but they'll start firing back up again. But what he's going to do is, you know, he counted on them to get him in, and so he's going to deliver. And he's got all these other liberals, leftists all around him that all say, yeah, that's so nice, so good. John Kerry flying all over the world in his private jet to receive an award for helping save energy. Give me a break. But he did. All right, there's another play that's coming that we need to be aware of. As you know, this issue in Georgia, the election, is really going to determine how we see the House, or rather the Senate, how many end up are Republican, how many are Democrat. It's an essential win for Republicans. And I just saw a poll cross. Let me get this back up here in front of me. I want to read it directly because I just saw it. It says that Walker is narrowly edging out Warnock in this tight Senate race. Now, narrowly, and this is a source, they're quoting a Phillips Academy poll showing Walker leading Warnock by 1 point. The margin of error is plus or minus 3. But they're going to say he's leading. That's not what you want. You want to be leading decisively. That's not going to happen, unfortunately. And the other part of the issue then gets into what's happening at the House. The House, you know, we've been taking it kind of for granted that Kevin McCarthy will be the next House Speaker. He's been the minority leader in the House, and it probably would take the gavel from Nancy Pelosi when she resigns or retires as Speaker, let me put it that way. But I told you already, the Democrats are coming around saying, you know, let's be nicer to each other. Let's sit around the fire and sing Kumbaya, and let's compromise. You know, it's like, let's have a plan of forgiveness for how you got treated during COVID. And I'm worried how many Republicans are going to swing into buying that, thinking, well, they're trying to be nice. Let's do our extra step. You got to watch for landmines. Here's Senator Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, and says, well, we're going to have to at least listen.
Well, we have to listen, but you have to listen to everybody in the conference, because five people on any side can stop anything when you're in the majority. I think when you look at the past history, when Paul Ryan ran, he had more people vote against him in the conference, and then they voted for him on the floor. We got five more weeks. We're working through our conference rules today. We want to make sure that everybody has input, but we have to speak as one voice. We will only be successful if we work together, or we'll lose individually. This is very fragile that we are the only stopgap for this Biden administration. And if we don't do this right, the Democrats can take the majority. If we play games on the floor, the Democrats can end up picking who the speaker is.
That is frightening as hell. Hakeem Jeffries is already being targeted to be the Democrats' leader, the minority leader inside the House, since he'll be controlled by the Republicans. But if they start making side room deals, back room deals, whatever deals they're trying to come up with, the Republicans might find themselves on the short end of the stick thinking, well, I thought we were going to do this. No, we're going to do this because you all agreed to be nice and play nice. They do not play nice. You got it? They do not play nice. You want to go out and play badminton. They're going to be playing rugby and carrying a sign that says, rugby players eat their dead. They're not going to be playing nice. When we come back, I want you to hear more from McCarthy, because his future's on the line here, too. And he's already talking about, in a way, he's almost... I want him to be belligerent, say we're not going to give on anything, and we're going to hold everybody the line. They promised they were going to do that, and they better well do it. When we come back, we'll pick up with McCarthy and talk again about what he thinks is going to have to happen, or they're going to lose everything.
We will only be successful if we work together, or we'll lose individually. This is very fragile that we are the only stopgap for this Biden administration. And if we don't do this right, the Democrats can take the majority. If we play games on the floor, the Democrats can end up picking who the speaker is.
I wanted you to hear again Congressional Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, and those closing lines. If we don't do this right, the Democrats can take the majority. Well, now the Republicans are going to have the most members in the House. How would they take the majority? Because they're going to have some Republicans that are kind of whining, switching, flipping, flopping. What can you do for me? I'll do for you. And before you know it, they walked into a corner or a dead end and they can't get back out. And now they're stuck there and the numbers have switched. And the Democrats would end up choosing the Speaker of the House when it's controlled by Republicans? He said specifically, if we don't do this right, the Democrats can take the majority. If we play games on the floor, the Democrats could end up picking who the Speaker is. Those are the words of Congressman McCarthy, and he's scheduled to be the Speaker. But he's already saying, he's been talking about, you know, in the beginning, you heard him say, well, we're going to have to listen. You listen to everybody, because we kind of want to get everybody together a little bit. But he's also acknowledging right there that if you're not careful, you're going to end up going the other way. And in fact, as he expresses it more and looks into it, he looks at the aspect of what's really going to happen, that the GOP has to prevail.
American energy is the lifeblood of the American economy, and that's what this president is attacking. Our current economic woes, to a great extent, are
That was a wrong hit, and that was my fault. I gave the wrong cue to Quentin, but we're talking about McCarthy saying that the GOP must prevail if they're going to make it. not
so
out.
So I think at the end of the day, calmer heads will prevail. We'll work together to find the best path forward. And I believe at the end of the day, since I've been leader, all we've done is been able to gain seats. We have not lost seats. We've won seats each and every time where the rest of Republicans have lost. So I think at the end of the day, we'll find the right path and we'll make the American public proud of what we're able to accomplish and turn this economy back around, because we're going to focus on the people, not on politics.
That's what he says, and I hope he does right. But I'll also add to that, Sean Spicer had, of course, served in the White House previously as a spokesman. He said, we have a lot of folks who say they won't vote for you, speaking about McCarthy. They won't vote for you. And he's now with Newsmax. He said, when we ask them what they want, they list a couple of rules, concessions they want, and they say, or we say, if you get those concessions, will you vote for McCarthy? Their answer is, well, we're not sure. Well, then who do you want your candidate to be? We don't know. He said, one of them can't be someone who suggested Jim Jordan. He supported you. Marjorie Taylor Greene supported you. Donald Trump supporting you. You raised $500 million. Some of these people, you actually funded their races. The thing I don't understand is that, and I don't want to envy your task, again, this is Sean Spicer, previous of the White House, speaking to McCarthy. Everybody has voted for you. The conference voted for you. James Comer has said you've earned the opportunity. You were the quarterback, the coach that led to the big game and won. And you got five people laid their cards out there for you. What do you say to them that's going to change them to make sure that they get you the 218 votes you need to be named speaker? And that's where McCarthy was coming in earlier and saying, well, we're going to have to listen and talk and share things. I don't like this timid little approach. I don't like it one bit. I expect McCarthy to be stronger. He better be, because even he acknowledged, if we don't get this right, and I'm quoting, if we don't do this right, the Democrats can take the majority. If we play games on the floor, the Democrats could end up picking who the speaker is. If that happens, you deserve it. Coming up, frightening numbers out of California regarding pedophiles.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, welcome back. Reminding you, you can go to rumble.com. I'm looking at it right now. See, more and more of you are joining right now and watching us live. Thank you for doing so. Go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA in the search engine. It'll take you right to our page. You push the button for live, you join us in studio. And then, of course, you can always go back and watch it later. Many of you do that. And if you miss any part of any program, all the audio is put up as a podcast after we finish. Normally, Quentin has it up within 15, 20 minutes tops of every program, and then share them with others, because there are others that need to be hearing what we're saying, and they're busy with something else. Help get them reoriented and say, you got to be paying attention here. Now, I'm done selling, okay? But not really. I told you I have a prime mission on this program. I push patriotism. Patriotism. Now, within patriotism, a lot of people might have different views of it, but it should simply be, do you love this country? If you're one of these out in the street saying this is systemically racist, it's bad, it's nasty, we had slavery, we did that, you're right to the extent of our history and our past, but we're not the same now. Why do we have so many trying to come in the country illegally? If they're not coming in to do drugs or bring in child smuggling, which that's also happening, they're coming to get a better life. I've told you previously on a recent trip to Vegas, I talked to three different cab drivers. I believe two from Nigeria, one from Ghana, or maybe it's the other way around. And to a man, they said, I love this country. I can do anything I want in this country. To me, that's patriotism. So see, I don't care about their color, their regional ethnicity, their nationality. I don't care even what their religion is. I don't care what their sexual preference is, as long as they're not harming kids, because that then brings me to the other two points I defend on this program. One, defend the unborn. I will not stop defending the unborn. There are some questionable areas that we have to discuss out and see each case as it comes up, but generally going to defend the unborn. And two, I'm going to protect our children from woke predators. This wokeness has given them a free rein that's allowed men to put on skirts and going into restrooms or girls' locker room, getting a good eye view and maybe a touch or a feel, who knows what else. And it's the same kind of thing that spawns what I've got here in front of me. I want to thank my boots on the ground correspondent Andrew in Chicago for calling my attention to it. It appeared in the Daily Mail. An analysis of a California sex offenders database shows thousands of child molesters are being let out of prison after just a few months, and some sooner than that. You're going to hear in a moment. Some are being released from prison in less than a year, even after raping, sodomizing, sexually abusing kids under the age of 14. And you know where some of that is coming from? From the woke culture. This is not the old hippie thing, if it feels good, do it type thing. This is doing it to children, not to consenting adults. Daily Mail investigated 7,000 sex offenders who were convicted of, quote, lewd or lascivious acts with a child under 14 years of age. Listen, you're dating a girl and she tells you she's 18 and she's really 17, or maybe she just turned 16. But you certainly know the difference between a 14-year-old and an 18 or 21-year-old. These 7,000 pedophiles that they surveyed were all released the same year they were convicted. They're not just charged, they're convicted. Are you following that? They are convicted. Current and former L.A. sex crime prosecutors admit the figures are, quote, terrifying. Yeah, and shameful, yes. Deputy D.A. John Hantami is blaming Proposition 57. That was a 2016 bill allowing early parole for nonviolent felons, which was supported and pushed by his boss, Los Angeles District Attorney George Gascon. Because if you rape a 14-year-old, it's considered to be nonviolent? Really? Hatani also said thousands of child victims are being denied justice, and George Gascon and his group of radical prosecutors can care less. I hope those lines rip into your heart and also stir your anger. Am I saying that every member of LGBTQ or woke or all of this kind of people? No. What I'm saying is that whole movement and the atmosphere that, I can't speak out, I'll be slandered or slurred or lose my job. It's opening the door wider and wider every day. Statistics, according to a former L.A. sex crimes prosecutor, said he was shocked himself by these. He said they're all frightening for society. He said statistics clearly show pedophiles do not get reformed. They're going to come out and they're going to commit it again. You know who does get the worst of the worst when he goes to prison, when they do go to prison? The pedophiles. Other inmates hate them too. One offender in the database was a Reseda, California resident, 48 years old, convicted of continuous sexual abuse of a child in 2015. His L.A. records say that he was charged in October 2014, pled no contest in 2015, was sentenced to just 2 days in an L.A. County jail and 5 years probation. Where do you think he went as soon as he got on probation? He now lives just one block from a Montessori school daycare, three blocks from an elementary school. There's another one convicted in 2013 of lewd acts with an under 14-year-old, child pornography possession, indecent exposure. He's 31. Convicted on a no-contest plea in 2013. In other words, he admits, I can't defend myself, so I'm going to plead no contest. I'm not pleading guilty, but I'm not going to plead. I'm pleading no contest. He got released within a year. And he has since gone to work at a company where he has a Facebook he opened up, and he's posting several pictures of a young girl on his Facebook page. There's a 47-year-old charged May 2014 with sodomy by use of force, sexual penetration by force, continuous sexual abuse of a child, and they gave him a plea deal. So he pled no contest to one count of a lewd or lascivious act with a minor, and he was sentenced to 3 years. But then he got credit for 790 days, so that left him less 305 days to serve, or less than a year. They're all up and down. I'm just reading through some of these. I don't even have time to get into some of them. If you recall, and it does point out here, 1996, the Clinton administration passed a law named after a pedophile murder victim, Megan Kanka. Remember? Megan's Law. To require that the information of these sex offenders would be published, and they had to register their address, and if they have they move, they got to update it. They cannot live within certain percentage distance or whatever from a school and children, things of this nature. The Daily Mail compiled data of 54,000 sex offenders listed on that website and analyzed results. 42,000, 76% committing offenses involving children. And the results overall show that the average pedophile served 2 years and 10 months in prison. Now, you're going to hear some say, and you can't deny that it's a possibility, well, they were probably sexually molested themselves when they were children. That is very likely. But at some point, do you not want to say, stop it and put an end to it? But we have this woke society. Everything's permissible. And if you speak out against it, we will find a way to shut you down. I'm right here. You want to come here? I'm right here. And I got a few other words to add on that coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving. Are the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli, St. Charles, County Country, and Clayton.
It's all This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and I do appreciate you being here with me and listening. It's not just a political program, and I've got some more remarks to make about this woke culture, which is preying upon our children. Make no mistake about it, they are. And this program is going to fight that every step of the way, as we also fight to save unborn babies. But back to this story, and I gave a lot of details in the last segment. If you missed that, you need to go back and pull it up later today, either at rumble.com or LarryConnorsUSA.com. And then you need to share it with your friends and neighbors so they make sure they heard it. But I'm not through. Those of you who thought, oh, my God, finally he's all... No, I'm not through. When you come to messing with children, I've got a lot. I was going to say ammunition. Some of you would say, oh, my God, he's talking about killing somebody. I didn't say that. But I do have a lot of firepower. Oh, I did it again, didn't I? You know what? Tough. Tough. So here, let me read this to you. This is, again, the Daily Mail. I'm going to give you the source because they did the work. They deserve the credit. And there is a thin line between credit and blame sometimes, but in this case, it's a lot of credit. They were doing this investigation of what happens to sexual predators or does not happen to them in the state of California under all these liberal attitudes they have out there. One prosecutor said, in the days I was in there, we made every effort to get as long of a prison sentence as we could because we knew the minute a child sex offender came out, they're going to reoffend and another child's going to get harmed. They know that. This is a predisposition. He's now a lawyer representing victims of sexual abuse, and he points to policies backed by guess who? California Governor Gavin Newsom, who wants to be president someday. He points to him for allowing the shortening of sentences. Why? To reduce the prison population. Oh, I see. If we go out and kill enough, have enough people that are killing people and doing all these crimes, you know our prison's really overcrowded. Let's just let some people out. But what'd they do? Well, I don't know. Let them go. We don't care about that. We're caring about the numbers. The attorney also points out that Newsom, they passed a lot of legislation where they are allowing for resentencing. They're allowing people to come back, and then there's a push to have less time spent in prison. That's been the plan and the push for the last 5 years, letting people out of prison much earlier than what their sentences were. But these types of individuals, talking about the pedophiles, they're not amenable to rehabilitation. Studies have shown that. It says they're clearly going to harm another child. It's a scary, scary trend. You had children. You had grandchildren. You had great-grandchildren. Your relatives had children. I would be extremely frightened if I were living in California and some of these other blue areas that are beginning to take this same attitude. The most common offense they found in the database was, quote, lewd or lascivious acts with a child under 14, committed almost 19-plus thousand times. That's a severe crime when they say lewd and lascivious acts. That's touching, feeling, exposing, and having them do the same to you. And that basically, the average time, 2 years and 11 months. 7,000-plus of these pedophiles committing that same crime served even less. They did less than a year. Some 114 men who committed the even worse version of this offense, when the under 14 was done by force or fear, say they seduce them sometimes. And they know these children are vulnerable, and they may or might be a girl or a boy, but they know they're vulnerable. But if they serve or force the child and make them fear that something's going to happen if they don't engage, that is the worst part of that act as far as under the law. And even they ended up 114 of them ended up serving less than a year. Others served less than 12 months, including 13 counts of aggravated sexual assault on underage 14 with the intent to rape, kidnapping a child under 14, intent to commit lewd or lascivious acts, 5 counts of assault with intent to rape a victim under 18, 2 counts of pimping minors. And then we've got the California laws, and then we also have what's going to happen January in Illinois, where they're going to do pretty much the same thing. They're going to take a lot of those crimes and turn them into, you know, not a big deal. Second-degree murder, no bail required. Second-degree murder, no bail required. Kidnapping, no bail required. Lewd and lascivious act, I don't even know if they'll even prosecute any of those. Illinois residents, watch and guard your children carefully. And pray a lot, not only for your children, but for those who have been victimized. Coming up the next hour, I want you to hear Senator Josh Hawley take FBI Director Ray to the hard court.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.